This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Zero tolerance for criminal aliens. Zero. Zero. There are at least 2 million, 2 million, think of it, criminal aliens now inside of our country. 2 million people. We will begin moving them out day one. As soon as I take office, day one, I am going to create a new special deportation task force focused on identifying and quickly removing the most dangerous criminal illegal immigrants in America who have evaded justice, just like Hillary Clinton has evaded justice. Maybe they'll be able to deport her.
He is who he thought he was. He must be loved. He's selling. He's got to be loved by the people in the room. And if you tweet him mean, he'll mean tweet you back double, triple. I hit back huge. Oh, Donnie. Oh, little DJ. Donald Trump went from diplomatic, Donnie. If you really had a vision problem, maybe presidential, Donnie. And then went to Arizona and continued to need it to be loved and didn't gain another vote and probably blew off some that were going to swing his way. It's hard to figure, kids. 6:10 in the morning. Let's bring in somebody smarter than me, Chuck Todd. That's probably not the greatest compliment you've ever gotten, Chuck Todd, from Meet the Press, but you are. Hardest working man in the politics business, the news business. And why does he keep talking to people he already has?
Look, I don't know. After, I tell you, talk about a day that sort of, in some ways, maybe sums up the Trump candidacy, because every day is a conundrum. First half of the day, I thought it was political theater at Mr. Sideshow Trump at his best, right? Yep. Sort of took advantage of a moment, stole the spotlight, totally had the Mexican president playing out of his hands.
Yep.
You're sitting there going, wow, boy, Trump's going to be able to tell people, see, these guys, I've got them cowed already, right? He wouldn't say a word to me in front of, and then what was an opportunity? He reverted to form, as you just said. He is who he thought he was. He reverted to form, and whatever good that may have come for him in trying to, elections are about addition, right? You have to keep adding support.
Right.
Whatever good might have come from his little political stunt in Mexico, I think he totally, I don't want to use the word I want to use, but he totally, it's gone. He got rid of it.
He turned it into an S show. So
Yeah. Here's
the thing about his 10 points. If you look at his 10 points and you read them in text form, you go, well, these all have, you know, some merit if you break them down and you break them out realistically. And certainly some will take a generation. Some would take maybe a shorter period of time. You got to have a lot of luck. You got to have Congress. You got to have this. You got to have that. But he treats it like a movie. I got 10 points. And I'm going to come in and Bruce Willis and Die Hard this thing, and it's going to be done in the first hour. I sort of think he believes it.
Well, I think that's because his own experience is just doing deals, right? And just all of a sudden out of nowhere, oh, we're gonna do a hotel deal together or something. I guess it's just because that's what his experience is. So, moving government, there's no moving it. You know, there's no moving, turning those wheels any faster. He may think it, but it's just, you know, I don't see it. And you know, well, look, I have to say, I just scratched my head. I thought I knew what he was up to first half of the day, and then he does what he does last night, and you think, well, okay, whatever.
I don't believe he wrote the speech because it was too technical and had words he doesn't understand in it, but there is a notion that people high up in his campaign didn't really know what was coming till the end. You know, we've talked about this for months. Is there any more sense that you have now that he is doing his own thing as far as what he says on stage? Because he sort of stuck to the prompter.
Well, I think on this issue, I actually think that his team is split on this issue. Look, I think his instinct is the hardline speech that he gave. I think trying to do the softening and the walk back and all of this stuff, I think that was, you know, all the new team trying to put together some opportunities for him to sort of, you know, refashion himself. But I think the I know that there were some folks on his team that were attracted to him because of his harder line stance on immigration, who were upset at this idea that he was softening. So I think there was a little bit of battle for his ear, and I, you know, instinctually, we clear who won.
Where are the kids? I mean, I know the boys have spoken up recently. Boys are grown men, but you understand the context. But where's his daughter?
You know, she seems supposedly the idea for going to Mexico was the brainchild of Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, that it was his idea and that he pushed this. But, you know, I mean, it's she's supposedly running the business.
Is there a rift of some kind?
I don't know if there's a rift. I think there's truly, I think there's a little bit of panic about the businesses. I mean, you know, the business is not going well right now. Right. So I think there's a little bit of that. But, they have been taking a little bit of a backseat. It could be just August. Let's see what September is. Maybe the Trump family is used to not doing a lot in August.
I want to get Andre in here about Hillary. But I was also going to mention to you, we're right next to the Trump Tower here. And we know people in the Trump Tower who won't give you that as their address. They'll give you a street, but they won't use the name Trump as their address. And, you know, this is a microcosm of what you're talking about in regards to the problems of the business. If it's labeled Trump, there's a very good possibility it could be a negative for you in your life.
There are a whole bunch of Trump condos in New York City that people are trying to put them up for sale, and they've struggled.
Speaking of where in the world is, where has Hillary been? We were talking earlier this week about she hasn't had a press conference. She hasn't jumped on the Mexico invitation. You know, we'd love to see her here in Chicago addressing all the crime and shootings and the violence. She's really not making herself, you know, the candidate in the forefront to be visible.
Campaign rope-a-dope, is that it?
Well, I think some of it is, you know, this campaign, if it's a referendum on Trump, she wins. If it's a referendum on her, she's vulnerable. She could still win if it's a referendum on her against Trump, but it's a lot harder. So I think that's part of the strategy. They have no interest in having any day where they dominate the day. They want this campaign to be about Trump. So that's number one. Second is I do think they just decided to make August a traditional time of campaign less. Most Augusts, most nominees campaign very little. You had 2 weeks of the Olympics. She spent a lot of time fundraising. You usually use August as your last time to vacuum up money, because September and October, you don't want to be fundraising. You want to be campaigning. So I think part of it is just simply August.
Do you like those instincts? I mean, you've been around this and are inside this.
I think it's, I think you have to be careful in August. Campaigns are never won in August, but they are lost. John Kerry lost in 2004 in August due to a bad August. So, I don't think they have a good handle on the foundation. I don't think they do keep getting, I don't want to say it's blindsided by emails, but they never seem to be ahead of it, right? They always seem to be catching up to the story. And but is that because they've taken their eye off the ball in August, or that it's just because you have a campaign and a candidate that isn't on the same page when it comes to the foundation?
Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, of course, and Meet the Press Daily, CMTV Daily, and a great job. Chuck actually has not slept since Trump announced last June, so I think he looks pretty good. He's got great makeup people. Last question, does the lie yesterday, if it was one, matter about whether or not they discussed who would pay for the wall?
I have to say, I don't know who to believe there. It is pretty convenient to me that suddenly the president of Mexico, who desperately needs the story to be, no, we did talk about paying for the wall behind the scenes. Trump or Peña Nieto?
Yeah, it is hard to figure.
Peña Nieto didn't publicly say it. To me, I have to say, I'm just, Trump or Peña Nieto in this case, I think I may believe Trump that it didn't come up. Or if it came up, it's probably Trump didn't hear it, and Peña Nieto didn't have the guts to say anything in front of him publicly, which to me would have been a more important moment to do it. So I think it's on the Mexican president. What a debacle on his part.
Yeah, complete disaster. We're hearing today from a number of places that this was all based on his finance minister thinking this could help the value of the peso. Is that right?
I have heard all sorts of rumors. You know, look, he is not that regime is not thought of as to be the most ethical in Mexico. So there's been lots of rumors as to how this deal went down. But yeah, it's a little sketchy. Something seems odd on this one, and I have a feeling we'll find out months later.
It's a hot mess. You got a plug for Sunday, or should we just do what we always do and sit around and watch it?
I think I can tell you this. It's a good one. It's a big one. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce it yet, so I better not do it.
All right, but special surprise guest.
It'll be a much better thing to put on the marquee than Guaranteed Rake Field. That's what I thought. I'm still reeling from that. I have a family. I grew up, mom's side of the family, big Southsiders, big White Sox fan. It's embarrassing. The White Sox already have to play second fiddle to the Cubs.
Right.
But then their ownership group does this.
It's hard to get a chant going, Guaranteed Rake Field. Come on, everybody. Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well, the good news
the White Sox even more. Come on, Jerry.
Yeah, but check on free mortgage night. You know they're going to have a full house. I'm telling
free
you.
Free mortgage night. Yeah.
Here goes the onesie. Here goes the onesie we got him.
Exactly.
You buy four tickets and get a quarter point off.
Exactly. You know, you got to think.
All right.
Chuck Todd, thanks. Meet the Press Sunday mornings at 9 and Meet the Press Daily, MTP Daily. On MSNBC. It's a lot of letters.